programmed statement ready. The chair clattered some more, and then the voice recommenced. I was born on Yellowstone, created in a steel womb and raised by robots. That was before we could transport living people from star to star. You had to be grown from a frozen egg cell, coaxed to life by robots that had already arrived. Ferris had been one of the Americanos. That much I knew already. That period was such a long time ago, before even Sky Houseman's time, that, in my mind at least, it had begun to blend into a general historical background of sailing ships, conquistadors, concentration camps, and black plagues. We found the chasm, Ferris told me. That was the odd thing. No one had seen it from Earth's system, even with the best instruments. It was too small a feature. But as soon as we started exploring our world, there it was, a deep hole in the planet's crust, belching heat and a mixture of gases we could begin to process for air. It made very little sense geologically. Oh, I've seen the theories. How Yellowstone must have been tidally stressed by an encounter with the gas giant in the recent past, and how all that heat energy in her core has to percolate to the surface, escaping through vents like the chasm. And perhaps there's some truth in that, though it can't be the whole story. It doesn't explain the strangeness of the chasm, why the gases are so different to the rest of the atmosphere, warmer, wetter, several degrees less toxic. It was almost like a calling card. That, in fact, is exactly what it was. I should know. I went down into it to see what was at the bottom. He had gone in with one of the atmospheric explorers, spiraling deeper and deeper into the chasm, until he was well below the mist layer. Radar kept him from smashing into the sides, but it was still hazardous, and at some point his single-seat craft had suffered a power lapse, causing it to sink even deeper. Eventually he had bottomed out, 30 kilometers beneath the surface. His ship had landed on a layer of brightly packed rubble which filled the entire floor of the chasm. Automated repair processes had kicked in, but it would take tens of hours before the ship could carry him back up to the surface. With nothing better to do, Ferris had donned one of the atmosphere suits, designed to cope with extremes of pressure, temperature, and chemistry, and had begun exploring the layer of rubble. He called it the scree. The warm, wet, oxygen-rich air was steaming up through the gaps in the rocks. Ferris scrambled down, finding a route through the rubble. It was perilously hot, and he could have fallen to his death many times, but he managed to keep his footing and negotiate a route which took him down hundreds of meters. The rubble pressed down on the layers below, but there were always gaps he could squeeze through, places where he could anchor pitons and lines. The thought of dying was with him always, but it was only ever an abstract thing. None of the first-born Americanos had ever had to understand death. They'd never had to watch people grow older than themselves and die. It was something that they did not grasp on a visceral level. Which was good, because if Ferris had understood the risks a little better, and understood exactly what death entailed, he probably would not have gone as deeply into the scree as he had. And he would never have found Gideon. They must have expanded through space until they met another species, Sky thought, some kind of robot or cyborg intelligence. Gradually, tediously, he got something resembling a coherent story out of traveling fearlessly. The Grubs had been a peaceable, innocent, starfaring culture for many millions of years, until they had run into the machines. The Grubs had expanded into space for arcane reasons of their own, which traveling